Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Name, address, phone number, even details about your family. All being pulled from public records and the internet, and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Plus, they alert you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal tool. It's a full digital security suite. VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, and dark web monitoring for your social security number, bank logins, and passwords. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other services charge the same, but only cover one or maybe two areas. With Aura, you get all of it in one simple app. Right now, you can try Aura for free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. Check website for more details. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit, and remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. It is time. And the reason you're hearing this music, you can thank one Bob Ness. He writes to say, "I'm with Charch. That Utah song is pathetic and truly sucks. Shows with him, though, they're the best." Bob N., Kansas City, Missouri, Packer fan. Well then, if you don't want the Utah song, I'll pick my favorite Prince song, even though Charch, I know, will have some thoughts about this one versus his other bangers, this being the iconic "You Got the Look" with Sheila E. Hard to go wrong with this song.
This is a candidate. It's a good, good song.
It's in the top 25. I Googled top 25 Prince songs, and I would imagine there's thousands of these lists rattling around the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Let's Go Crazy, probably my favorite. Okay. I love Raspberry Beret. I've told you before that's got a personal angle to it.
Because of your record store experience. When Prince came in to the record store you worked at.
Yes, and I didn't care at the time.
That's incredible! Obviously, he did not have the look, because you just were like, okay, whatever.
The Raspberry Beret story is a girl that I briefly dated who claims that the song is about her, and I've never been able to verify or not verify.
One of the great things to come out of Minnesota besides Charge, Prince Rogers Nelson. Sadly, no
it's
longer with
close.
Us. Super Sky Point.
No.
Yeah. Okay, so there you go. No more Utah song, and if you're sad about that, I'll send you Bob Ness's email. And you can bring it up with him, because he killed it.
I'm just glad that Bob Ness is named Bob and not Phil or Paul or Peter.
Philness? Peterness? What? I don't get it.
P. Ness.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I'd like to believe the listeners were there before you on this one, Zabe.
Yeah, probably so. All right, let's get to the best story I've seen in a long time. And that is, finally, this cabal of cowards, this clutch of cheapos, this clandestine band of insecure dweebs known as the Pro Football Hall of Fame Voting Committee, they have finally hoisted themselves up upon their own petard. And I don't even know what that saying means, but I know I'm using it appropriately. These guys have finally stitched themselves the most splendid Technicolor clown suit that they deserve to wear by not voting Bill Belichick. He of the 6 Super Bowl championships as head coach, 2 more as a coordinator, not into the Hall of Fame on the first ballot, because at least 10 of these idiots, these self-important, righteous douchebags, decided they needed to penalize him for Spygate. Fuck you, fuck your whole committee. And now, I love it, George, that not only are the other members of the committee, the 39 or more that said, of course he's a Hall of Famer. What are you, brain dead? Yeah. They don't like being told you're going to wear the same clown suit as all of us because we're not going to say that we didn't vote for him and you're going to be suspected. So they're coming out now saying, I voted for him. Of course, there's going to be liars in here now as well, because some of those who didn't vote for him will lie and say that they did. Already Bill Polian is backtracking on this as well.
Yes.
But these fuckers have had it coming for a long time. And the number of players, of men who have deserved enshrinement into Canton, who have been denied for the dumbest of fucking reasons, like a 27-year-old Adam Schefter before he became the overpaid stooge he is now, writing for the Denver Post, kept Art Monk out of the Hall of Fame because he said, well, I don't know what his signature catch was. You fucking dipwit. He was the leading receiver in history when he retired, not only single season, but career. Yeah, sure, the game exploded with passing after he retired. Wake up! He never talked to the media, he wasn't a darling, and because he didn't go to ESPN, he just retired, Art Monk. He's like, oh, he doesn't exist. Fuck you, Adam Schefter. And there's a bunch of other names along the way who have been on this committee, who have kept certain guys out for various dumbass fucking reasons. And they need to be all disbanded. The whole committee needs to be fired after this.
This is one of your all-time best rants
because
was outstanding, my man.
It's been building
Bill Belichick for years.
99%
of me agrees with everything you just said.
99%.
He is the best coach in the history of the NFL, and it's not close. With all due respect to Vince Lombardi and everything he did, the success that Bill Belichick had, and is far, far more impressive than what Lombardi was able to do. And at the end of the day, these writers, who, by the way, this might change the whole process. The whole process is going
to... It better. It has to.
Getting reviewed now. And it may be taken out of the hands of the media. And maybe it should be. Because those people were all motivated by pettiness, without a doubt.
Yes.
Now, Belichick earned this in many ways. He was a grade A ass to national and local media for 20 years. And inexcusable ass. The kind of disdain that you can only get away with when you win 6 or 8, depending on how you look at it, Super Bowls. I mean, Belichick was insufferable. Nevertheless, so he put himself into that position to some degree so that when petty people had the opportunity to give him a measure of payback, they took it. As 9 did not vote for Belichick. Those people are going to flush the process for the rest of them. And, you know, it brings in, it's going to, I hope they overhaul the whole thing. And the whole Hall of Fame process to me is screwed up, including the requirement to bring in what, at least five or six guys. There should never be a requirement
right.
to bring in a certain number of guys.
No.
Because sometimes there aren't enough qualified players.
Exactly.
Anyway,
they're not qualified. The media members are not qualified to actually judge certain positions because they just don't know. Line positions,
that's
they
true.
Don't understand. Mm-hmm. And the media Correct. Is forever biased by draft sort of positioning and status. So if you were drafted too low, that hurts you a lot of times. You can overcome it, which obviously Brady will when he finally goes in. But a guy like Joe Jacoby, who was an undrafted defensive tackle from Louisville, who got flipped to the offensive side and became one of the most dominant left tackles in the 80s on three Super Bowl teams that had to block Lawrence Taylor twice a year and other monsters. But because he has a lisp, he doesn't speak real great. I know Jake from having worked in radio with him, prince of a guy, but he didn't become public. And so there was a long push from the representative from D.C., which is another thing fucked up in the process. David Elfin, who used to write for the Washington Times, which is now hanging on in name only, kind of like every newspaper, by the way, he would go and present to the committee every year. Here's my argument for Joe Jacoby. And he had to beg these other biased, ignoramus, don't know how to judge the position writers about why Jacoby should be in. It was completely fakakta and fubar to the point where the last time when the Super Bowl was in Minnesota, 2018, I believe, where I got to spend a whole week in the Mall of America, which is a week I'll never get back.
2019, I think, January 2019.
Yes, exactly. When I was there, that was the year Jacoby had a real shot, and they brought him in to stay in a hotel so they could film the knock on the door by that giant loser oaf in the red jacket. Remember the guy that was representing the Hall of Fame? I'm going to get his name for you.
I don't.
Okay. Who was the guy who knocked on Hall of Famers' doors? Hotels. The cruelest thing they ever did. David Baker. David Baker, the president and CEO of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Look him up. He's a nothing in the football world. He wasn't a coach, wasn't a player. He's just a big fucking oaf that made his way to the top of the Hall of Fame and is their CEO. And so he decided, hey, here's a good idea. I'll be the one that knocks on the door and smiles and tells the Hall of Famers they've been inducted to Canton. And they would film it. Here's the problem. Every year, some of the guys wouldn't get the... And they'd sit in a hotel room. Well, Joe Jacoby sat in his fucking hotel room with his family for 2 days and then got nothing. And nobody stopped to stand up and say, this is bullshit. This is so insulting. You can't do this to guys. Well, make it for great TV. They no longer do it, by the way, because somebody finally said, this is fucking bullshit. But this is why a pox on all of them. And Belichick, of all people, as you know, Charge, really revered the Hall of Fame and believes in it. But the current process is beyond repair because those on the panel, I'm going to read you some of the names on the Hall of Fame voting committee, and I guarantee you, you're going to go, who? What? Huh?
Yeah, please.
Him? Why? Never heard of him. There are guys that have been on the committee who have long since lost their jobs or their media organizations have bit the dust. It happens. Guess what they do every year? They pay their own money to fly themselves to the Super Bowl site and to get themselves a hotel room just so they can be part of this process. That ought to tell you everything you should know about this. Sports writers being the cheapest motherfuckers ever. They make Ebenezer Scrooge look like a spendthrift. And they pay their own money because they're clinging to a piece of flotsam in the ocean of irrelevance. And therefore, they will pay the money to stay on the committee. And if you don't think that they're bitter, they don't have a job, or their organization went down, or this guy was mean to them, you're fucking crazy. Fire them all. Fire them all. Have I made my stance clear?
You've made your stance clear. I'm wondering about some of these names of the Hall of Fame voters. And, you know, I know that it is something of a popularity contest within the writers, right? So who's, you know, who's been on the panel long enough and who's the most connected and who's most appreciated?
Yes.
Those guys have carry a ton of weight.
It's like Mean Girls, but they're fat, ugly, old men. But it's the same dynamic. It really is. It's just unbelievable. And let me tell you, when you are on Radio Row and you see one of these guys go around and do interviews because they're on the committee and they, you know, lesser radio stations like, well, we could get this guy. He's on the Hall of Fame voting committee. We talk about the Hall of Fame. Probably won't tell us who he's voting for or not, but at least give us some insight. Boy, they walk around like their shit doesn't stink. They walk around like they're the most important fuckers in the world. Fire them all. So hopefully this is the event that finally, you know, eliminates it. Let me get to the selectors here. Okay. Kent Summers, Arizona. Retired.
Yeah, longtime Arizona beat writer.
But he's retired. Okay.
He's retired. Oh, geez.
Scott Garceau of Baltimore, 105.7 The Fan. He's a TV guy.
Okay. That guy is not, well, I don't know him, but the odds, the TV guys I know are focused on their own team only, and it's not even as good. Well, all right. Anyway.
Have you ever heard
they're also working, you know, they're working their local high schools. They're doing local, you know, college basketball. They're, you know, they're doing a little of everything. If you are a local TV sports anchor, you are doing everything from high school to pros. You are not even dedicated to the pro game.
I won't even pick on some of the names. I don't know, because they could be young people who are getting on the beat now. But Vahe Gregorian for the Kansas City Star. Representing Kansas City.
Don't know him, but clear, that's an Armenian name right there. Let me tell you, Vahe is a classic.
Is
Armenian
it really?
Name.
You know Vahe?
I don't know him, but okay. I love that guy.
All right. The at-larges are wild because of some of the names on there. Joel Bussert, huh?
No idea.
Retired NFL office.
What office?
Jason Cole, who I used to have on my Fox Sports radio show, and then Yahoo Sports Radio show, who I got to know is just a very dark, dick-headed guy. He now works for fansided.com. Hey, how about that?
I don't know what that is.
Frank Cooney, the Sports Exchange. Dan Fouts. I mean, I like Dan Fouts. He does not fucking watch the modern game anymore. Hadn't been a broadcaster in forever. He's sitting on a porch somewhere in Sarasota with a lemonade in his hand.
And God bless him for it.
Clark Judge of the Talk of Fame Network. What on earth
is
the Talk of Fame Network? No idea. Lisa Salters, Sidelines, okay. ESPN. Oh, she's known the NFL for years. When she started doing that? About 5 years ago. Okay. And then you've got Bill Polian, SiriusXM, NFL Radio, and a Hall of Famer himself. Bill Polian is the source of all this, and he does not want to admit it. Basically, Polian told the committee members, hey, you know, we got to do something about this Spygate, because, you know, they were cheating. Never mind the fact that even after they shut that down, Belichick and Brady kept winning and winning and winning and winning, okay?
Yes.
But Polian was on the receiving end of one of those thumpings. I believe it was a 45-7 demolition. I think that was in the Deflategate game, but they also lost before to Belichick and company. They won once. They got their revenge once when they went to the Super Bowl and won it. But Polian's always been bitter. And so people quickly said, oh, I bet this was Polian telling these 10 holdouts, you got to penalize him by not letting him be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And then when Polian was asked, he said, no, I voted for Belichick.
Uh-huh.
And then when asked again by ESPN, he said, well, I can't remember exactly who I voted for. I probably did, but I don't know for sure. You That's fucking absurd. Old man, bitter pill. Fuck you. Get off the committee, Bill Polian. Loser. Okay.
I've heard Polian SiriusXM stuff, and it's pretty obvious he doesn't follow the game that closely.
Of course not.
Not at the level in which you should be enshrined with the right to decide who goes in and out of the Hall of Fame.
He also should have recused himself from this process because of him being on an organization that had a serious beef with the Patriots and Belichick over Deflategate, which was a complete and utter farce. Bill Polian, Wikipedia. Let me find out how old he is. How old do you think Billy Polian is?
72.
No, he's 83. Okay? He's 80 fucking three.
Wow.
This guy's lucky he doesn't leave his glasses in his soup on a daily basis. I don't remember who I voted for. Fuck you. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how they're going to change things, but obviously they need to. I think they need to put more votes into the mix. More votes, the better. So you're not getting a small cabal. You don't hold this thing in the Super Bowl where these guys can jack off and feel all important about, I got a committee meeting. Gotta go talk. We got to meet in secret. We're not going to talk about this. More votes, less writers, and fire everybody on this one now. And if the 39 voters who voted for Belichick and were super pissed when they heard that 10 or 11 of these dickwads were going to stage a protest, if they lose their coveted spot on that committee because of them, fine. Take it up with them. You can have a grudge with those 10 assholes for the rest of your life, but guess what? You're all going. The whole fucking crew is going. That's what I would do.
Yep. John McClain, Houston Chronicle?
John McClain's one of the good ones. But by the way, there are good ones, I believe, in this group. I don't want to say they're all bad, but they're all going to pay. If it was up to me, they would all pay. But the good ones, there's a core of good ones who take it seriously, who are not biased, who really try to understand the merits of each guy. And I would say that McClain is one of the good ones.
I've had him on many times. I think he is one of the good ones. I think he follows it very, very closely. But he's lamenting exactly this. He said, we're all going to get thrown out because of the acts of a handful of people. The whole thing, they're going to lose their power structure on this almost certainly. And they likely will have deserved it. And that's, the good guys are going to lose with the bad guys on this. And that's it, but it's got to change. I mean, this is the ultimate in sports. This is the biggest smoke-filled back room there is in sports is this. And it's finally going to come to light.
Yeah. So that said, it was just the second of the absurd things that came down the pike in the NFL this week. The other one was Shedeur Sanders being named to the skiddly-ass, grab-ass, flaggity-flag games going on in the name of the Pro Bowl, which the players decided they can't be bothered to play that thing anymore because, I might get hurt.
I don't even think that's it because I don't think there's a lot of history of injury with that. Patriots fans from 25 years ago might disagree, but I just think it's not the value proposition isn't there.
Well,
they get a little bit of money. They get put up in a hotel. I don't know. You don't go to Hawaii anymore because Hawaii wasn't good enough either, right?
Well, they stopped trying basically. So 53 to 51 games in Honolulu, which used to be what we grew up with, right? Became 76-75 and they were playing patty cake. They were just falling down. And so if the game can't be played at 80%, if it was being played at 30%, which it was a bad look for the league. So they really had a struggle. Do we just cancel it? And their compromise was, well, we'll still have the stars that everyone loves, but we'll have them playing flag football, which is not football. Football is the art of tackling somebody violently and preventing the other guy from gaining an inch when they need it the most. That's football. So flag football is skiddly-doo grab ass is what it is. It's fun for playground games. It's good for girls and co-eds. Have fun. It's not football, though. So once you did that, the whole thing was going to fall apart. And then to name Shedeur Sanders It's just comical, given his season. It was once an actual award. It was once an honor. We used to, in the chattering business, charge use Pro Bowls as a metric of, is this guy any good? Right?
It's laughable now. There are still people who get contract incentives based on it, when in reality, seven of the first eight guys they try at your position refuse to go and be named a Pro Bowler. I'd like to know who's making those phone calls. Who's the person from the league that's trying to sell this to a series of players? Okay, well, we're gonna start with Josh Allen in the AFC. No. Okay.
Well, they all said I can't go because I'm hurt. It doesn't take anything to claim an injury. It's just literally, are you a big enough star? Mahomes got a knee injury. But, you know, Josh Allen could do this, but he can just say, my elbow's hurt. Okay, you're out.
Oh, that's it. All right, long season. Long season. Tua, who got benched for the final, three games of his season, Tua would have been a better AFC representative. I'm trying to think if there's any starter.
Trevor Lawrence was the guy that was the obvious. You're sure you're not going to invite him? I don't know why they didn't invite Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, they must have, and he just declined, Zabe. There's no way.
I did not hear that yet.
They had to have. Had to have. I mean, Jacksonville was 13-4, and Trevor Lawrence has had an amazing season. I can't imagine it.
I know.
Geno Smith might have been the only worst AFC representative.
Might have been. At least Geno played most of a whole season. At least he gutted it out. He was terrible. But he gutted it out.
Bad.
So there was that. So
Shadur, and here's the beauty of it is, nobody thinks he's more deserving of the honor of representing the AFC in the Pro Bowl than Shadur Sanders.
That's right.
This for a kid who desperately needs to be humbled. This is the worst thing that could ever happen to him, Zabe.
I know.
Shadur Sanders is going to think that this was an accurate representation of the prowess that he put on display for the 5-12 Cleveland Browns.
Have you heard though the latest in Cleveland, which is fascinating? You ready?
Now I know several coaches have withdrawn consideration.
The latest today is that they're ready to hire Todd Monken from the Ravens.
Wow.
The very OC who was supposedly the reason that Lamar Jackson had it with the Ravens, didn't like the Todd Monken offense.
Wasn't he already a coach in Cleveland once before, Todd Monken, or am I?
I'd have to look that up. But either way, the Browns keep getting coaches saying, yeah, nah. And somebody tweeted, I thought very apropos, Charge, the notion of, hey, you know, there's only 32 of these jobs out there, is starting to fall apart because a number of young coaches who are on the verge of being head coaches are looking at Cleveland going, I am not jumping into that. No way.
No.
And so that premise is starting to fall apart. So they're apparently going to hire Monken. Now, a number of candidates said no because Jimmy Haslam was like, we're keeping Jim Schwartz as our D coordinator. And once they gave the head job to Monken, Schwartz, as of today, reports are, has been saying his goodbyes around the facility. Like, oh, really? I don't get another crack in the – I'm out!
All right, well, if AI is any indication, apparently Todd Monken has accepted this job, and it is his to be had.
Yeah.
And he was there once before in the Freddie Kitchens era.
Freddie Kitchens.
And he called the Browns, quote, a total mess at that time.
Yeah.
And it was reported that Monken told opposing coaches before games that Freddie Kitchens would abandon the weekly game plan in favor of his own ad hoc decisions on Sunday during the game.
That's awesome. Freddie Kitchens, who reminded me of a guy who was coming to your door to replace your hot water heater. With a dirty hoodie on, big belly. I'm here with the water here. You got access around back? I got a hand truck. I'll bring it down back. Oh, yeah. No, I used to coach the Browns. Yeah, Freddie. My name is Freddie. Freddie Kitchens? Yeah, you remember me? Well, I'm doing water heaters now. Anyway, so that's one dumpster fire. The other dumpster fire is the Jets. Have you seen the carnage that their staff has undergone by keeping Aaron Glenn? Aaron Glenn's basically fired seven guys under him. In the ultimate, it wasn't me. Has to be that guy, or that guy, or that guy, or that guy. And you go, well, didn't you hire that guy, that guy, that guy just a year ago? Yes, I did, but they're the reason that we suck. Not me. Can't be me.
Yeah. Get in line. I got to fire enough guys that eventually the heat is off of me. So eight assistants.
Yes.
Have been fired.
Yes.
Eight.
Yes. They're having a hard time finding quality replacements for all these guys.
No.
Because
somebody else isn't signing up to be a new scapegoat in New York.
They look at it as a one-year deal. They're like, oh, yeah, Aaron Glenn might have survived this year against all odds. He ain't fucking surviving next year. They don't even have a quarterback there. So what assistant's going to go, yeah, let me move my family for not even a one-year job, a nine-month job. Because that's how long you're going to be there.
It might only be 9 months. That's right. How many teams have fired Steve Wilks? There's your trivia question for today.
I would imagine quite a few, maybe five or six.
Yeah. According to AI here, four.
Okay.
Arizona Cardinals as a head coach, Cleveland Browns as a defensive coordinator, 49ers as a defensive coordinator, and the New York Jets.
All right.
Steve Wilks.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Let's get off of sports for a second, because you and I like to observe the world around us and note things, and there's good material to be talked about out there. Starting with this, Google has agreed to a $68 million class action settlement. Because it turns out that the Google Alexa Home Assistant pods were actually spying on people in their homes. Yes, they were listening even when you didn't prompt the device with, hey, Alexa. This is something that everyone with half a brain, not even a full brain, said all along. Oh, I bet that's listening the whole time. No. It said it doesn't listen. Says it's just a lot of layers of anonymity and security. No, it's just, well, you have to say, hey, Alexa, play Carrie Underwood's Black Cadillac for me. And then it stops listening. But see how convenient that is? Uh-huh. I didn't have to go to my phone and find my Carrie Underwood song to play. Isn't that great? I need one of these things. People were often flummoxed. Why don't you have one of these? And I said, look, I love technology. I don't fucking need that thing. Besides, don't want it spying on me. End of story.
Right.
But the crazy thing is, $68 million is nothing. That's couch cushion change.
Right. So they spent 10 years selling your private audio recording data to advertisers.
Right.
At a minimum. That's the easy stuff that they did with your information.
Right.
Easy stuff. And we know, we now know that they did that. Nobody ever goes to trial. I mean, that's the worst part.
Nobody goes to jail.
Really wanted to affect change. People should go to prison. There should be a bunch of executives in there wearing their suits, and they should be going to jail. So other executives for other companies go, holy shit, this could be me. But we never get that level of justice. Instead, all that happens is Google gets away with a relative slap on the wrist, $68 million, again, to your point, that is a rounding error on a day's interest for them.
Yeah.
So it was an absolute win. It reminds me of the Astros when they cheated their way to a World Series victory, Zabe, and they had basically no penalty, and the league basically said, yes, feel free to keep cheating. And this is,
it's unbelievable. It's ridiculous. 2008 financial meltdown in which the whole system conspired to defraud the American public by bundling shitty single A rated mortgages and bonds, bundle them up, slap a triple A rating on them so they could then be traded and invested upon before it all fell apart and condos in Florida were empty because people that were buying them were fucking hairdressers. Couldn't possibly afford a 25th story penthouse apartment or condo.
Right.
And, you know, if you saw any of this in The Big Short, great movie with Steve Carell, that helps explain some very esoteric financial things. And I'm no financial genius, and I'm certainly a math dummy, but even I got it at its core. They pretty much bribed the referee in the game, which was the bond rating company, Moody's. They bribed them to go, just call these AAA, they're fine. And they did. Well, guess what? You know how many people went to jail for that whole thing that cost investors, institutions, mom and pop shops, you and me, everyone else, hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars? How many people in the U.S. went to jail over the 2008 financial crisis?
None.
One.
One? Okay, one.
One banker, Karim Sarageldin of Credit Suisse. Poor guy. They looked around like, well, look, we're going to let all these buddies of ours off, but one asshole's got to go to jail. Who is it? Oh, Karim, you're the new guy. Tough day to be a Karim. So they jailed a Karim, and even he only got 30 months, which I don't even think he served the 30. So, yeah, so nothing happens.
What do you want to bet? What do you want to bet Google's stock is up today?
Is it?
I'm going to guess. I mean, I don't know, but I'm going to guess. Their ticker symbol is alpha, right? Aren't they alphabet, right?
Would it be up today because they've put this behind them? Is that your thinking?
And they got off so cheap. Okay. They got such a good deal. I bet they have.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. I'm looking it up right now.
While you look that up, charts. I move on to the next unsettling story. Apparently, all of our favorite candies have had insanely high levels of arsenic, a very deadly poison, in them. Three Musketeers, Snickers, Skittles, Nerds, Kit Kats, Jolly Ranchers, 26 of the 33 traditional candy brands tested, arsenic was detected at elevated levels. This, according to a press conference of the state of Florida and their health department. Not great.
Arsenic, of all things. Why is arsenic?
I don't know. I guess they were out of arsenic. They must have been out of cyanide to put in the Skittles. I have no idea. The fuck does arsenic get in there? I know that glycophosphate is used as a weed killer, but fuck, the Skittles don't grow in gardens. Like, you don't need any plant material to make a bag of Skittles.
Right. And it's not like Skittles and Jolly Ranchers and a Snickers bar and M&Ms are coming off the same line, right? Or coming out of, I don't know, same ground. I mean, I don't know if there's even any natural ingredients in a Skittle, but
right.
I mean, it's so weird that they all, regardless of manufacturer, I mean, almost all the top candies have this. And how do they not know?
I do know this.
You would think Mars would be testing their own stuff on a regular basis to avoid exactly this.
I do know this. Even though that arsenic is bad, sugar itself, and especially refined sugar, is probably the more dangerous poison. It's a very low-level poison, insidious, a chronic poison that guys like me have been scarfing for my whole life. And I'm now trying to fight back to bend the tide back in a more healthy direction, because sugar is terrible for you on every level, creates metabolic imbalance and fucks up all your systems. So if it takes a little bit of arsenic, addictive as hell. Oh yeah.
I mean,
get on that sugar train.
My brain after 20-30 minutes after lunch, 20-30 minutes after dinner, my brain is like, ding, ding, ding. I haven't had anything sweet. What's going on here? Dessert time. What are we doing?
Yeah,
why am I not eating anything? What can I find? What can I, you know, what can I get in the pantry?
I know.
Sugar is dangerous stuff. And, you know, big sugar.
There's big sugar.
I know listeners are going to know about this. Big sugar in the 60s and 70s waged this war against fat.
Yes.
And they successfully won a PR battles and bought PR battles to demonize fat. And we still talk about fat-free foods. And if you look on the front of many of your favorite candies, like Skittles, it will say a fat-free food.
Yeah, thanks.
As if everything inside the bag isn't awful for you.
Right.
And it turns out most, you know, regular, we need a certain amount of fat in our diet. And fat is not the bad guy.
No.
Sugar is the bad guy.
No, but not only did they wage a successful PR campaign, but they bought off scientists and they effectively captured certain parts of our government along the way to basically, well, they were like the Aaron Glenn of the food industry. They go, blame fat. Sugar pointed at fat and said, that fucker, he's the problem, the fat. And they won. And the whole, I listened to a long speech by a guy that's, I got to find it and get the name of it. But he basically laid it all out. And he's like, look, high fructose corn syrup was the devil introduced in the 70s. And the rationale was, hey, it's a cheaper way to at least provide calories to poor people that can't afford, you know, food. And the problem was it was just horrible calories. And so therefore, it unleashed an obesity epidemic that is still with us today. And you don't need to be an expert to just look at old photos from the 60s and say, why is everyone skinny? They didn't have Ozempic back then. They also didn't have arsenic Skittles back then either. So,
presumably not anyway. 1967 is a key year here when Big Sugar paid three scientists to point the blame for chronic disease at cholesterol and saturated fat.
Mm-hmm.
And for three scientists were Dr. Frederick Stare, chairman of the Harvard Department of Nutrition, Dr. Mark Hegstead, scientific advisor to the USDA, and Dr. Robert Gandy, pioneer in dietary research. They ignored studies that showed that sugar created deadly arterial plaques. And instead blamed that on cholesterol and saturated fat. There's your, you know, and potentially those people have killed millions of people with their bad science. And by the way, one other thing, quick thing, and I think any rational person will agree with this. SNAP should not cover candy. We should not be taxpayers should not be paying for candy and sugar for people. We don't want to get people hooked on this stuff. It's not healthy. We're not helping anybody. Your SNAP money should be going to food staples.
Well,
not
didn't they already shut off junk food for SNAP?
I don't believe so. And soda.
I thought they already did, and I thought the pores are absolutely revolting, saying, I can't believe I can't get my Mountain Dew. Here you go.
Because they're addicted.
I know.
Because sugar's addictive.
Here it is. Dr. Robert Lustig, Lustig, Sugar, the Bitter Truth, University of California Television. And it's an hour and 26 minutes. Well worth your time. If you have some time, look it up on YouTube. Robert Lustig, Sugar, the Bitter Truth. He'll lay it all out for you. It's fucking insidious. Of course, this goes along with something I sent you, which is that, you know, Popeye, the cartoon where he would eat spinach for strength. It came in 1929 by the canned vegetable industry in the Great Depression to produce more consumption of canned vegetables like spinach. Disgusting. It worked. Spinach sales increased 33% because the spinach is high in iron claim came from a decimal point error by a German scientist in 1870. In fact, spinach only has the same amount or less iron than beef. In fact, beef provides six times more usable iron that's absorbed by your body than spinach. But Big Spinach, Big Vegetable, decided they were going to do this. So just something to think about.
Popeye, now you and I are, we are not young, but Popeye predates us by a lot. And growing up, Popeye was still a C-tier cartoon character when I was a kid. And when you were a kid, I never saw the appeal. First of all, olive oil. Who the heck's going to go to war for olive oil and battle to keep olive oil around?
A skinny little nerd?
Whiny nag. No, the skinny was fine. She didn't have a sugar dependency problem at
all. Here's your Popeye spinach compilation. Insect vultures. He would just pop the can open with his fist.
Yes.
Look how strong he is, Charge.
So strong. Muscles bulging
out. Look at that.
Every
he just picks up a whole house. Build it himself with the miracle of spinach. That's so gross. If you were to tell me what would it cost to bribe you to eat a whole can of uncooked spinach, the number rhymes with north of $10,000.
For you, that might be true. You might say no to $5,000 to gag your way through some spinach.
A whole can of it would be insane.
Oh, a whole can. It's so slimy out of the can. It's so bad. You know, if you just get like dry, leafy spinach at the store, right next to the lettuce, I can eat that.
You can. But you can eat it in small portions.
Whole different thing.
Yeah, in small portions. So I don't think you could do that. All right.
You could not do it. Now, the trick that I used growing up, when my mom, she loved to make all kinds of weird-ass food that I hated. Liver was a key component growing up. Squash. We did have to eat a fair amount of spinach, other things. What we always did, I got to a point, Zabe, you'd cut a quadrant, a portion of liver. Then I would put it in so much ketchup that I could swallow it without chewing. Right. So I would use the ketchup as a throat lubricant.
Yeah.
And I would just swallow the whole chunk of it. And that way I could get through the liver, because there was no, or the Brussels sprouts or the squash, whatever it was that we were having, so that I wouldn't have to chew it and taste it and keep it in my mouth. That was my workaround.
Yeah. You're aware of the Liver King controversy and scandal?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a Netflix documentary that you're probably going to want to watch. This thing is hilarious. Let me show it to you right here. Netflix. Who is Liver King? Meet Brian Johnson, the raw meat influencer. This guy, and look at the size of this guy, claims that he got this way. Yes, claims he got this way just eating liver, working out, and living the natural life outdoors. Look at the giant beard. Look at him eating that liver, Charge.
What? Oh, that's so off-putting. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, truth is, he was doing massive amounts of steroids. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Of course he was. Look at him. Absolutely had to be. I'm not at all surprised.
But he was able to build up this kind of small influencer empire until people were like, yeah, I don't think I believe this.
Yeah, that's good, so for fun. Them. They, I'm glad they were skeptical, and that guy, that earned it. There's a degree to which you are so big that you basically have to have used steroids.
Yeah.
The Mountain. Do you think the Mountain has used steroids?
That's a great question. He, of course, is. He's got a brother who's also a massive weightlifter.
Correct.
I'm trying to find his name here. Who played the Mountain in Game of Thrones? That would be Julius Jørgensen, I believe. Right. His name in the series was Gregor Clegane, and he was Hafpor Julius Bjørnsson. And apparently his brother is also really, really big. I don't know if he's done steroids or not. Maybe dabbled.
I have, because I just grokked it. It's yes, and he openly acknowledges that he takes steroids.
Takes or took?
Well, took. Yes, speaking of the past. Yes, I have. He said, okay. When you want to be the best, you do whatever it takes. And that included this. Yes.
What was your favorite mountain scene in Game of Thrones when he chopped the entire head off of a horse in frustration after the jousting match that his side lost? Just lop. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that the whole jousting scene, which is long. It's like 20-minute long scene. Just brutal, right?
Incredible.
I mean, oh, God. Yep.
And was it when... Scepter Ulna, played by what's her name from Ted, who I love, by the way, was sent as the nun to go get defiled by the mountain as her punishment. Remember that? Brutal. See, you don't remember that at the end? That was her. No. That was her fate. Septa Ulner, I believe, was her name. And why can't I think of the actress? Who is on Ted, the tall, statuesque blonde.
Not Cersei. You're not talking about the woman who
No.
Because he was Cersei's bodyguard for a while.
Did I say Ted?
As I recall.
I meant to say, not Ted.
I assume you mean the movie.
Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso.
Oh, not Ted Lasso.
Yeah, sorry. Hannah Waddingham. Mm. Hannah Waddingham played the nun. And when they finally overthrew the religious zealots that were running King's Landing.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Red Sparrow bit. Yeah.
She was sent off to go be you-know-whated by the mountain. And that's
very Game of Thrones. It's a very Game of Thrones penalty right there.
yes.
Do you intend to watch the new Game of Thrones HBO show?
What do you mean? The series? I still have not seen the second.
There's a new series.
Well, there's been a whole produced second series I haven't watched one episode of.
Yeah.
I forget what they call it.
That one is, so that one's been in the books for a little while. This is a brand new one called A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. It is a prequel set 100 years after House of the Dragon and 100 years before the original Game of Thrones. And I don't know anything about it yet, except I know HBO is pushing it hard. I'm just sitting here trying to watch The Chair Company, and I'm trying to watch Mad Men Rewinds, and they keep pushing A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms hard.
Yeah, okay. Septa Ulna is who was the nun. She was the one that rang the bell of shame, and it was Hannah Waddingham. Shame.
Yes,
and
I did not know that.
It's unclear at the end as she's let off with the mountain as to what happened. They didn't show it, but everyone just kind of assumed the worst. Okay, let's wrap on this, Charge. I know it was a bit of a bittersweet week for you. You filled in, and maybe you are still filling in on KFAN for Paul Allen, who has stepped away after his comments that got him in trouble up there on the radio regarding, all the ice protests and stuff that's going on and the obviously tragic shooting and everything else. How has that been? Are you still doing shows?
I'm not. I did Monday.
Okay.
When this thing was at a fevered boil, and I talked it over with station management about what was best. Obviously I'm very conflicted. I've been working with Paul for 20 years, and this is, I consider Paul a friend, and I wanted to be really careful about anything I did or said. And I just, the only way that I could handle it in that moment, and I think the right thing, was basically just not talk about it. So I didn't enjoy. I didn't.
Yeah, you got to steer so far clear of it. I commend you for having the courage to dive in to that.
Well, it helped that Sam Darnold is now a Super Bowl quarterback. So that day, we're less than 24 hours removed from Sam Darnold heading to the Super Bowl. And the Viking, he wasn't good enough for the Vikings. Our standards were too high for Sam Darnold. We didn't want Sam Darnold, the little mini capologists that are out there that believe you can't go to the Super Bowl on a Sam Darnold salary, despite the fact that Sam Darnold's in the Super Bowl with a Sam Darnold salary. They insisted that you got to have your rookie and you got to roll the dice. And the Vikings turned their back on a passer that had thrown for 4,300 yards, 35 touchdowns. And yeah, he didn't win those big games at the end of the 2024 season in which he was pressured. I looked it up 78 times in two games.
I know.
And people blamed Sam Darnold. Oh,
that's tough. I wonder, what was the sentiment on our way out the door here? What was the sentiment of people that wanted to keep Sam Darnold versus let him go? Was it 30-70 keep versus go last year this time?
I'd say like 80-20 or 90-10 and that wanted to let him go. Either, you know, but some of them wanted Daniel Jones.
Okay.
Some wanted Aaron Rodgers. Right. Some wanted J.J. McCarthy.
All
but
right.
Overwhelmingly, they wanted J.J. McCarthy.
Did the station or any hosts keep any receipts of callers, longtime callers, or very vocal people saying we got to go with JJ? Because I'd be in the receipt keeping business, especially if I was a host there and I said, you know what, we should keep him and we'll tell JJ he's got to sit for another year. I don't care if he's butthurt about it. I'd love to keep receipts and then call these guys back and go, well, happy pappy?
No.
Guess not.
Right. Oh, same. It's tough to be a Vikings fan. It's never easy. It's always the hardest possible path, I swear.
Charge, I got great news. You're going to Vegas with us for Zave Vegas 2026. That concert you and your lovely bride were going to go to, that's off.
Yeah.
Because I've already committed you. I've already committed you a name. Armin Sarian's coming. Butchie's coming. We're going to be at MGM Grand the 26th and 27th of March for the Sweet 16 Papa Shot Tournament. Gambling, fun, meet and greet. We're going to go to the Vegas sign for a group photo. We're going to go to Mandalay Bay's rooftop lounge. It's going to be amazing. Just email me if you want information on how to be with us on those two wonderful days. Thank you for coming.
Not me, everybody else too. And I may be there. I still don't know yet, but I want to be there, and I would love to be there. And anybody who's listening should absolutely go.
Okay. All right, Charge. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, my man.
See you.
Bye. They're not that long. So that's our topic for today. So good day.
Good day.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.